Lord, we thank you for this, your Spirit filling us and giving us gifts for comfort in these days. For awake thou that sleepest, Christ shall give you light. Yes. For the answers to prayers, many answers from heaven, many, many answers. Thank you. For the people fighting cancer, Camden, Sandy, many, we read it on the list. For those facing battling pneumonia, bronchitis, other diseases, be still, know that I am God. Walk in the Spirit. For those that are burdened with a lot of words, burdened with long times of words without power, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but it is in power. Lord, for our lives to have words of power in our hearts, words that change things, words that refresh us, hide us in a pavilion from the strife of tongues, Lord, and build us up in the inner man. Yes, Lord, thank you for this time tonight. We came out, people that have come out, people that are watching, we pray for the Spirit to move in the church, the body of Christ, and edify us in the one new man, where there is freedom and joy and peace, quietness and confidence, our strength. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. We're going to move around a little bit, but this is our text, 2 Corinthians 2, and verses 12 to 17. I talked to Pastor Steve Antolonis, and he and his wife are watching the service from the hospital, and great results. It was a success, an amazing blessing. Praise the Lord. Wow. And then their granddaughter, Katie, the second one. Andrew and his family is filled with happiness tonight and joy. Praise God. So that, you know, Kate was in intensive care and treated, and she's out of it now. She's off of oxygen and she's okay. Hallelujah. That's amazing. I think it's a blessing to live in Baltimore, and where we got, John Hopkins and other hospitals taking care of us. Okay, let's go to a couple points. Turn to Psalm 49. These are the pre-message verses, just so that you read Psalm 49. How important it is to walk in the Spirit. What did I say? Psalm 49? Yes, okay. We have... Be not afraid of the wicked. Do not be afraid of people that have their portion in this life. You know, this portion here in Psalm 49. Their portion is really in this life. They have a lot. They have wealth, their inward thought, verse 11, their houses will continue forever. They name streets after themselves. houses, buildings, companies, schools, named after themselves. So they think it will continue. Nevertheless, man being in honor, verse 12, he abides not, but like the beasts that perish. Okay, then go to 46, Psalm 46, verse 10. This will take a few minutes. Be still and know that I am God. Say that out loud, please. Be still and know that I am God. Imagine God when he makes wars to cease, verse 9, makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And that day will come in the millennium. And he does it today too. Intermittently, he causes the war to stop. And he destroys the armor, verse 9. And then be still, know that I am God. I am God of the whole world. So be still and magnify him in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us have gifts. Every one of us have a capacity for truth. All of us are able to be built up on the inner man. You turn to 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse we said in our prayer, chapter 4 and verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Is that up on the board? Okay. No, not the speech of them that are puffed up. Now, words. We said it in the prayer. Words. Is that Will over there? Is that you, Will? Okay, good to see you. Amazing. I remember your name. Wow. All right, so words. There's a lot of words in this world. And they can be exhausting. And there are a lot of words in your own heart, in your own life, and they can also be exhausting and not build you up. Words. So, verse 19, when I come and visit you, I'm not interested in who is so smart, who has a lot of words, who is very proud and very gifted and very capable, but I want to know who has the power. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Spiritual power. That's amazing. Do you see? Now to go to Psalm 27, and we'll see it there. For verse 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, verse 4, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what we seek for. That's why we're here out on a Wednesday night. This is why some people are so excited about learning something in the church, and also my life being changed by words that go into my heart. So I have desired it. Now verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he will hide me in the pavilion, in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. Okay, verse 6. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Now, there are wicked people that are in the world, and they have strength, and they continue, and they're not going to stop. That's Sodom and Gomorrah pushing on the door at Lot's apartment, if you remember the story. They are wanting the angels that came, and they're pushing on the door, and they're not going to back off. They are energized, and they are working. And God hides you and I in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And verse 13 of this psalm, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, we have seen a lot of sickness this winter. We have seen people go home to be with the Lord. We have had a presidential election. We have seen things on TV. We have seen global catastrophes of different kinds. There is a lot happening in the world that we are living in, and it is a real, absolutely real thing. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We not only have the Spirit, but we walk in the Spirit. We are comforted and taught and led. Now turn to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. So our geography is important here. He's in Turkey. He went to the border out on the coast of Turkey to Troas, and there was a door of ministry opened. But he wasn't satisfied with that. Verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit. And why? Because Titus wasn't in Troas. I was restless. I wanted to see Titus, but he wasn't there at Troas. But a door was opened for the ministry. I could have stayed there and been very effective, and there were other believers there, and as a team, we could see the opportunity, but I had no rest in my spirit. I think that happens to all of us. Psalm 77, it says, the psalmist said, my spirit made diligent search. I was looking for God because I was suffering in pain. My wound was running in the night, maybe infection, we don't know what it was, a drainage of some kind coming out of his body. And he said, I was searching, I wanted to find God. I was searching. Here, he is saying, I was in a great opportunity, but I had to find Titus, because Titus was coming with news from Corinth. And I just had to get moving. I had to go to Macedonia where I would find Titus there. So this is the background. Verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. That's Greece, the northern part there. And then this is what he says. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, what is the meaning? He's saying, I had an opportunity in Troas, but I wanted to find Titus, so I went, and as I was going, I was realizing that wherever I would go, God would use me to triumph. The word triumph in the Greek there, used by the apostle, has the idea of a general bringing the conquered slaves and soldiers and various people that he conquered the land and brought them in procession. And the idea of Paul saying, Christ has conquered me, and I am now in a procession, and I am sensing the triumph. In the real metaphor, I mean the reality of that word, the slaves were not triumphant. The general was. He was triumphant. The slave was going like this as a captive. But Paul is saying, I am triumphant with the general, Christ. Everywhere I go, I sense it in my spirit. You know, I find it in the Holy Spirit. I'm victorious. Should I be in Troas? Should I go to Macedonia? Wherever I go, I can sense in my spirit God's plan. God has given us, he said in Galatians 5, he said, if you are in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Meaning, not only do I have the Spirit, you know how we say as believers sometimes, you know, casually, you know, we have the Holy Spirit. If we have, then let us walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit will affect my heart, my speech, my concentration, my focus, my attitude. Be still in your trials because God is working in it. He's ordained for us to have them. He is with us in our trouble, and the Spirit is faithful as the comforter and the counselor and the teacher. Look at 14. I'm sorry, verse 13, one more time. But taking my leave of them, I went into Macedonia. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. But I think he means it like not just like in a position, but he means it that it's actually what God does, that we triumph, that we have the spirit of triumph. We have the spirit of God. Verse 14, and makes manifest, that's one of Paul's favorite words in Corinthians, manifest. Manifest, it's a big word. Manifest, show me. Manifestation, like in the body. Manifestation. Show me. Manifest. Make it manifest. Reveal it to us. Let us see it. Manifest. This is the idea here. He said, makes manifest the savor of his knowledge. Now, the word savor is the fragrance. In English language, we have these two words for smelling, that I think of them differently. When you have an odor, what do we say? It has an odor. We don't say perfume has an odor. Perfume has a fragrance. And we say the garbage has an odor, right? This is how we think of smelling something. If it is a fragrance, it's delightful and pleasant. If it stinks, then it stinks. We have it in our English. Now listen, it says this, verse 15. We are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ. In other words, when God smells us, it's a fragrance, and it's a sweet fragrance, and it's pleasant to God. And when other Christians smell other Christians that are manifesting that the Spirit of God dwelling in them, encouraging them in all wisdom, when they have words of life, when they learn to edify, learn to initiate. This is a good little lesson for our young people. Listen, many times the young people they have so much in their heart, and they may be shy, or they don't know exactly how to say something, or they might be a little bit, you know, in a crowd. But this is an awesome thing. Learn to initiate with what it is that is in you. And as you say it, you empower, or not you empower, but the Spirit manifests. There is a fragrance. When you say in your heart, in your prayer life, maybe you have this amazing quietness, this amazing stillness in the Spirit, and you're in love, and you're loving God, and God is loving you, and you're in the Spirit, and you're still, and you have this focus in the Spirit, and you actually can sense that fragrance. When we are with each other and we see that love, that quietness, that peace, that power with words, when we are able to love and edify and initiate to people, maybe, you know, just all kinds of situations. I think a teacher at a school could take a young person and have a word, and it could change their life. I think Pastor Stevens said one time, and he only had an eighth grade education, I believe, in formal education. And his dad had died young. His brothers were at war. He had to run the farm. I remember just hearing their little stories. And he said the high school principal, he could sense that man cared about him. And the principal looked at him, understood him, and cared about him. And it touched his heart, the pastor being a young guy, just 15 or 16 years old. And like being hurt, feeling inferior, feeling, you know, hurt in life, and somebody caring, had a beautiful thing. A teacher has power with words. A mom has power with words. A dad has power with words. Teenagers have power with words. So here it is, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ. God gets. Have you ever smelled roasted lamb? Wow, that is so good. God had a good sense of smell when he said, I want lamb sacrificed. I want to smell the lamb. And so do we. We are made in his image. We can sense it in them that are saved, verse 15, in them that are saved and in them that perish. But then he explains it. To the one, we are we could say odor of death unto death. The same Christian, when to that person, he doesn't have the sense of smell, of fragrance. You're not a fragrance, you're an odor. You're an odor. I don't know why, but I don't like you. Now, this isn't with everybody, of course, we know, but it does happen. You don't know why, but at your working place, somebody just doesn't like you, and you think, what did I do to him? You didn't do anything. You just have a spiritual fragrance, and to him, it's death. That's what he sees. You came to condemn him. Your convictions are not his. Your godliness is an offense. Even in the spiritual realm, the demon spirits can tell when we have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is manifest. You might say, no, if I just treat him nice, he'll be my friend. Well, do the best you can. But don't be surprised that God will teach you warfare, that there is such a thing as demonic powers, and there are such people that target the upright, Psalm 11, verse 2, and there was a reason why Jesus Christ was crucified, and that was because he was an offense to men. His wisdom was an offense. His spirit was an offense. His purpose was an offense. So there is something to think about. Verse 16. To the one we are the savor of death, the odor, the stink of a decaying body. To the other, to the saved, to the body, to God, we are the fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Meaning, how could I ever produce this phenomenon by myself? How could I ever have that kind of influence in this world? That to one, I'm like a rose, to the other, I'm a garbage can. Who could ever do this? How could this ever happen? But I am saying to you tonight, and I don't know, I know that that folks have been in challenging times. I want to say it by way of comfort, by way of encouragement, that Paul is saying, I could be in Troas, there's a door open, but I got to go find Titus. And as I go to find him, I find that God is with me there also. And that our ministry is not limited to our geography. Our ministry is not limited to our concepts of our good things and our failures. Our ministry is given to us by the hand of God, and he will not take his Holy Spirit away from us. And that our lives are a life of comfort and peace. And he hides us in a pavilion from the strife that many people live in. I think when you turn on the news, a lot of times you hear strife. And sometimes you say, okay, the world is on fire. But God is a God that makes wars to cease. God is the one that says, be still and know that I am God. Love me with all your heart. I will empower you. I will guide you. Look at verse 17. Rhetorical question, who is sufficient for these things? Paul's working on he gets to the answer in chapter 3, and he says in verse 5, our sufficiency is of God. And Paul does have a way of writing in which he gets to a problem. He asks a question and he takes time to get to the answer. I kind of like that. That he asks the question and then you keep reading and find that he's formulating his spiritual answer to the rhetorical question. And so verse 17, and we'll finish. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And I do think that the Bible could be used in the wrong way. I do believe the Bible could be used as a hammer or a philosophy book or something to prove my case or argue my point or my particular brand of a perverted theology. But we are not as many, Paul said, and he's saying many do it. But he's saying, we are not of many. I am happy to say I have to stand before God for everything we teach and what we believe, and I'm ready to do that. Where in my heart, I believe that it is no one less than the Holy Spirit himself who is pointing to Jesus Christ in every Bible verse and saying that Jesus is the Christ, a good indicator that the Spirit will lead and guide us in peace, that we'll have fruit, and it'll be the fruit of a good fragrance. But there'll be an odor too. Guys, like both have to happen if it is of God. We love Paul, and some hate Paul. Paul is amazing. His teaching is incredible. And some, he's a false apostle. Some say this about us, and some say that about us, but it's okay. Because this is the nature of the kingdom. So did they the prophets. So did they Christ. So did they the apostle Paul. But we are not as many, verse 17, which corrupt the word of God. But what does that mean? Let's take a moment here. We have a minute or two. What does that mean? There's some attitude that we all must have, nurture it and embrace it, as saying, I can't do it. I don't know it. I need your Holy Spirit to do it. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. way to study the Bible is by prayer. I know that there are theology schools and there are academics and there are men a lot smarter than us here tonight. I know a lot, much smarter than I am anyway. I know. I have no doubt about it. But the kingdom of God is not only in words, but it is, does it work? Does it work on a Monday? Or is, do I, you know, does it work on, you know what I'm saying? Does it work in my trial with Pastor Anilonis and Jean Marie, you know, and the many others that are in this room that we could say, did it work? Did you have comfort? Did Christ show up in your darkness? Did Christ visit you in the night? Did Christ guide you when nobody else was around? Did Jesus visit you in your pain or your guilt? Did the blood of Jesus wash your sin away, like the Bible says? Or are we taking our experience in the flesh and then twisting this book? Somebody told me a very large church in Washington, D.C. is now being pastored by two lesbian women. Would I go to a church like that? Why? I don't believe, or I'm not saying I don't know how people live. I mean, everyone, I don't agree with that lifestyle, obviously. But I say pastors are not perfect. People are not infallible. We all can fail. But over a period of time, it must be that that the Holy Spirit must bear witness to me and guide me, and that my experience is not interpreting the Bible. In other words, my sin stuff, my life, my sin nature, my style of life is not interpreting this and corrupting it as many, or rather, brokenness, hunger, seeking Him, asking Him for the truth. And it hurts me, maybe, or it challenges me, but we love it because we, thanks be unto God, He always makes us triumph. And as Christ leading us captive, the captives are different kind of captives. They're like free captives. They're saying, this is it. I found a new way. I wasn't bondage, now I am free. I was exhausted, but now I'm quickened. I was old and tired like a bottle in the smoke in Psalm 119:83. But I've held on to what you said. I believed you, and I found you brought me through water and through fire and brought me out to a wealthy place. Hosea 4, where it says that He feeds us like sheep in a broad place. David, He set my feet in a large room. Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly places. Paul, thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. Nay, in all these things, even if we were slaughtered tonight, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What is He saying? Be still, know that I am God. I am your God. I am your comforter. I am your teacher. I am the one that will guide you and take you through it and help you through it all. And be still, and I'll hide you, and you'll have the power in your processes of thinking. And here's the last 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. Ah, that's beautiful. You know? Bring it all before unresolved stuff. How many have a credit card and you got a lot? You got a lot on that credit card, and nope, nobody here, not one person. Nope. Okay, I got a credit card. I got some money on it, and it's like it just stays there, and I don't get it. You know, necessarily. You know how it goes, and stays there. Well, my soul is something like that. And I have stuff that I carry with me. And the Lord said, when are you going to meet me and we'll clean that up? I go, I want to clean that up, Lord, but I'm busy right now. I want to clean it up. And the Lord said, could you take a little bit of time and get down and do some business with me and bring it all the stuff before me and we'll clean it up and it'll be gone. All the stuff that you carry, the anxiety in your soul, maybe. A little guilt that we might have sometimes, or the fear of tomorrow and all that stuff. No, be still, know I am God. I'll clean you up, set you up on a rock higher than yourself. I'll hide you in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I'll give you peace in the night season. And if not, like Paul was in Troas and he's kind of restless and I got to find Titus. Like, Paul, what, aren't you spirit-filled? I had no rest in my spirit, he said. And I said in the beginning of the message, that happens to us. I have no rest in my spirit. I kind of have that restlessness, and I'm seeking, I don't know. And as he went, he said, thanks be unto God. He always makes us triumph. Thanks be unto God, I got peace now. Yes, he did meet Titus. He got a good report. He was greatly comforted by the coming of Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to finish up here. I think we made it the point. Look at, in the sight of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. I want you to just be encouraged tonight that you and I have the power to speak we in Christ in the sight of God. Could be like he says, shh, the angels, listen, I got it, you know, like so God is saying, they are speaking in Christ in the sight of God. They are sincere. They are hitting the point. It is happening. They are comforted. They are empowered. They are capable. And the wicked people will not go away. They will be here. They will make their way in this world. And they might even get stronger and stronger. And that's fine. Because we are on another road. We love them. We love them. We care about them. We pray for them. Much of it is they know not what they do. As Christ said on the cross, forgive them. They know not what they do. Sometimes they are crazy people and they just do wicked and evil things. And then sometimes those very same people get saved and born again and come and tell us how wicked and bad their life was. And they are serious and God does a great work. Yes. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And that is part of the life that we live. To us, we may be an odor, stinking. They don't like it at all. They don't want to know us or be around us. It may be like that. That's what he's saying. But at the same time, we are a beautiful fragrance to God and to each other. Something to think about. Okay, would you pray with me, please? You're here tonight. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ. We love you. He loves you. He loves you. We love you. God loves you. Whoever you are, you have a sexual identity issue, God loves you. God is for you. God saves you. God forgives you. You have other things in your heart, in your mind, and all kinds of things. It's like, God loves you. Relax. God loves you. Come, please. In your heart, believe in him. Ask him. He will answer you and care for you. And raise your hand here tonight if you're asking, you're saying to Jesus, I believe in you. Anyone at all, I believe in you. I believe in you. Anyone. And then for us, thank you, sir. And any believer here tonight, Lord, may you use this message to comfort us in these days, guide us in understanding who we are and the warfare that is happening, and fill us with your Spirit. May you give some of us, Lord, a new wave in the spirit of prayer, of quietness, of meditation, of encouragement. Give us a new wave of words of love and advocation, of creativity, of spontaneity, of praise in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.